Let's try and see what happens. Today we're continuing our series called Family Secrets, and I need your help today. That's the way. If you're visiting today, I need a little help too, because we've been working, doing, and that helps me if you're staying energized and with us today, amen? Because a lot of work goes into this, believe it or not, and need your encouragement today. Family Secrets, we've studied the book of Ruth, little four-chapter book. Here was a woman named Ruth who was a Moabitess. She was from the country of Moab. And that actually came about because of incest. That generation, those people came about because of incest. So her name, basically her name of her people means incest. And then she hooks up with this guy named Boaz, whose mother was a prostitute, for crying out loud. And wonder of wonders, is God in His perfect plan has brought this couple together. And now, in the last sermon we saw last week, they come together, they marry, and they have what we call a blended family. And it's phenomenal. God's touching them. And through this line, we're going to see something. Pop that verse up. Ruth 4:22. So Ruth and Boaz had a son named Obed. Can you say that with me? Obed. One more time. Obed. Help me there. And Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat who? David. King. Came out of this crazy couple. That tells me God can work in our life, amen? God's a great God. He has a plan for our life, and He has a plan here. And so we're going to move forward with our message today, and we're going to get to David. It's going to take me a while to get to David, so I need your help. Because there's quite a few scriptures and a lot of stories that we have to tell to finally get us to David. But we're going to see this young man that was born. It's said in the Bible that David was a man after God's own heart. That's not said of anybody else. It was said of David. He was a man after God's own heart. You know what? I want it said of me. Amen? And I hope that's what you want in your life. And so today's message is the secrets to being a man or a woman after God's own heart. How can I do it, preacher man? Well, we're going to try to help you today. Try to show you today how that you can get in touch with God, how that you can follow Him, how that you can pursue Him, how that you can have a passion for Him and be a man after God's own heart. So let's get right to it. Thank you, Lord. I can see this is tough preaching, man. It was hard enough in the old days. This is rough. 1 Corinthians 1:25. We're also going to be in the book of 1 Samuel in case you're following along. Also, you can go on our website sometime late Monday and you can click on and you can do the PowerPoints yourself and you can walk through all the scriptures and study just like I do up here on the stage. You can see it and get a little deeper if you'd like. 1 Corinthians 1:25. Secrets to being a man after God's own heart. So the Bible says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world. Boy, I qualify, amen? To confound the wise. He has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. That no flesh should glory in His presence. And we should keep moving pretty quick, Raj. God is not selecting superstars but servants. Can you say that with me? God is not selecting superstars but servants. You don't become a man after God's own heart because you got all this raw natural ability. Or, you know, you're a superstar. That's not what God's looking for. God's looking for servants. And that might not be the way it should be in your mind, but Isaiah 55 says this, my thoughts are not your thoughts. See, God says, I'll choose the weak person. God says, I'll choose the despised person. God says, I'll use somebody you don't even think I can use. Why? Because you know what? Then they can't get the glory I get the glory. And it's all about me, just like Sally and Jimmy said. Your ways are not my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So the secret to being a man after God's own heart has got to come not from you. It has to come from Him. And hopefully we'll see that today and we'll learn. God's method for choosing and using men is contrary to human reasoning. It doesn't make sense that God would have reached down in my family. I'm nothing special. Okay? They reached down in my family. My mama drunk as a skunk in Rockingham, North Carolina. Somehow she's sitting there in the late 70s before remote control and Billy Graham comes on and she is touched by God. And she tells me a hell-raising partier when I came home that night, we're going to church in the morning. You know, God can use a drunk. He can clean them up, make them great. My mother was a champion. And many of you know 12 years ago she was murdered because of her faith. And she's a champion. And God can make a champion out of you today. So listen, lose the attitude that you don't think you can be used to God. You can be used to God. Amen? And He can take a teen like me that was reckless and seemingly useless, and He can make something of our lives. That's God's plan. And He gets all the glory. And here I am, 44 years old. I'm still giving Him the glory. Why? Because I know it ain't me, baby. Amen? It's amazing. We have that kind of God. Let's keep looking. Man looks, but God sees. Can you say that with me? Man looks, but God sees. See, and that's what we're going to see in our story today. Let's keep it rolling, right? And see what we find. Man looks, but God sees. And I know when I was putting this message together, by the way, I was on a cruise this week. I've learned something. God does not speak to you on a cruise. God will not give you a message on the cruise. I tried all week. God, I need a message. He wouldn't come. But you know, I see some friends here today. We met them on the cruise from Sarasota. How are y'all doing? The Colton back here. Amen. All the way. See, I mean, something good can come out of cruise. I mean, we had some nice reduction, but some friends came down from Sarasota today, and they're in church with us today. But I tell you what, I didn't get this message on the cruise. I tried. So yesterday, man, I really had to work my tail off. And thank the Lord He showed up. But I feel like the thing jumps all over the place. So we'll see what happens. 1 Samuel 8. We're going to get to David, but we got to go through Saul to get there. Let's keep looking. We're talking about being a man after God's own heart. It was only said about David. We've seen that man looks, but God sees. We see that God's ways are not our ways. His ways are higher. How does God choose us? How does God use us? How can I become a man after God's own heart? It's not about me. It's about Him. Let's see what we see in 1 Samuel 8. It came to pass when Samuel was old, the prophet. This falls right after the book of Ruth, by the way. So we're just following along with the story. When Samuel the prophet was old, that he made his sons judges over Israel. Remember the book of Ruth? It was written during the time judges reigned. There was no monarchy yet. There had been no king of Israel. It was prior to that. It was a time when judges reigned. And most of the judges were evil. Okay? And God was judging His people through these judges. It was part of God's plan, because God's plan doesn't make sense sometimes. And that's what was happening. So Samuel made his sons judges over Israel. There were many of them. Now his sons are going to be judges. Now the name of the firstborn was Joel. The name of the second, Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways. None of the judges hardly did. Just a few. But turned aside after lucre, money. They took money. Boy, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? Took bribes, and they perverted judgment. Verse 4. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together. They came to Samuel and to Ramah. They said unto him, behold, you're old. Your sons don't walk in your way. Now make us a what? Say it with me. A what?
King.
We ain't had a king yet. They had what so far? That's right. So here they didn't like what they were seeing. But by the way, they weren't so righteous themselves. Okay? Israel wasn't following God. So don't think they're that great either. They said, make us a king to judge us like all what? They wanted a king so they could be like the other nations. See what I'm saying? Every other nation had a king. We don't have a king. We need us a king so we can be like the other nations. We can be big and bad. But the thing displeased Samuel. When they said, give us a king to judge us, and Samuel prayed unto the Lord, displeased him maybe because they rejected his sons. I don't think it was that much. I don't think that was it so much. But I think it was probably because he knew this wasn't God's plan. He knew this wasn't God's will. They're asking for a king. It's not what they need. And it displeased him. And it's his leadership. They rejected his leadership. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people and all they say unto thee. God says, listen to the people. Do what they say, man. Well, they've not rejected you. They rejected me. This is God talking. That I should not reign over them. So Samuel felt rejected. God said, look, they ain't rejecting you, dude. They're rejecting me. They don't like my plan, these people. I like the judges. They want a king. That'll be like the other nations. Hanging there with them. According to all the works which they've done since the day that I brought them out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they forsaken me. They've served other gods. So do they also unto you. Don't take it so hard. They don't like me either. Alright? Verse 9. Now therefore hearken unto their voice. Howbeit, Samuel, protest solemnly unto them. Even though they want a king, protest that they are wanting one, but they're going to get it anyway. And show them the manner of the king that's going to reign over them. See, God has a plan. Obed had who? Jesse, and Jesse had who? See, God's got a plan working. How many have ever got ahead of God and his plan in your life? Let me see your hand. Come on. Yeah. God has a plan working in your life. He has a plan working in his nation. And he brought Ruth from Moab and Boaz over here, and that whole thing we've been going through for several weeks, and he has a plan. But they want to get ahead of the plan. They want to have it their way. See, man looks, but God sees. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. And here's what he said. Keep it rolling. He said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, and for his chariots, and to be his horsemen. And some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands, captains over fifties. He will set them to ear his ground, to reap his harvest, and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. He will take your daughters to be confectionaries, to be cooks, and to be bakers. He will take your fields, your vineyards, your olive yards, even the best of them, and he will give them to his servants. Oh, you want a king? You want a king? What's that? Good. You're going to get one. He will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards. He will give to his officers and to his servants. He will take your men servants, your maid servants, your goodliest young men, your asses. He will put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and you shall be his servants. You shall cry out in that day because of your king, which you have chosen. Do you see that, Simon? Who chose the king? Simon. People. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. Verse 19. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey Samuel. So he protested, didn't he? He did what God said. And they said, nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all nations, that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. Looking back on it, looks pretty stupid to me. They lost everything, given up everything, so they could be like other nations. And so this is the plan. So they wanted a king. Let's keep moving, right? See what we see. Man's choice. Who do they choose? Do they choose David? Huh? They choose David. That was God's plan. I feel like y'all sleepy. Y'all all right? Hit somebody. Do something. Wait. Yeah. All right. Okay, here we go. Okay? 1 Samuel 9:2. Here's their choice. This man had a son in the previous verse, 9:1. And this son's name was, say it with me, Saul. So who was the first king of Israel? Somebody tell me. Saul. He was a choice young man and a goodly. What does that mean? And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. Does that mean that Saul was just a really great guy? No. It means he was good looking. He was good looking. So they chose him a king. Guess what? They wanted their king that sat on the horse to be what? Good looking. See, that's how dumb we are. That's how dumb we are when we make choices. We make some of the dumbest choices. God's ways aren't our ways, because if we were running things, it'd all be screwed up. And God had a plan. But this is who they chose. From his shoulders and upward, Saul, he was higher than any of the people. So what were the qualities they chose? Pop it up. He is tall and good looking. You know, girls, if you're looking for a guy, that might be what you're looking for. Okay? Some guy tall and good looking. I think it ought to be a little more than that. Maybe some character and some other qualities, maybe. But you know what? Certainly when you're looking for a king, they could need more than just tall and good looking, don't you? And this is what they chose. Man's choice. Why? Because man what? Looks, but God what? Sees. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the what? That's what we're trying to get to. I want to be a man after God's own heart. I don't want to do this one. I don't want this ticket. Let's keep looking. As good looking as Saul was, he couldn't hide a dirty heart. Good looks can't hide a dirty heart. That's why at Fellowship Church, you can dress any way you want to. If you want to wear a nice suit, coat, tie, that's awesome. If you want to dress down a little bit, that's cool too. Because it ain't about the outward appearance. Are you understanding? Sorry. God looks on the heart. Some churches, I grew up in a church, man, if you went in, ladies didn't wear a dress and the guys didn't dress to kill, you know, they'd tell you, you'd have to get it straight next week. That's crazy. That's just foolishness. I reject that kind of thing. God looks on the heart. Good looks can't hide a dirty heart, friend. At least not from God. And we're going to see that in our story. Let's keep moving. So let's see what happens. There's a lot of Bible here, and I can't go over it all. We're going to catch some of it. 1 Samuel 13:1. So what happened to Saul? Saul reigned 1 year. And when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, we're fast forwarding up to verse 5. The Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel. There were 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, people as the sand which is on the seashore in the multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash eastward of Beth-Aven. When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, they had a bad way. For the people were distressed. Then the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and high places and in the pits. Doesn't look like the plan's working out, does it, say? They got them a king to fight for them. Doesn't really matter if there's 35,000 folks out there. I don't care who he is. How good looking he is. Good looks go out the window, then, don't they? See what happens. So this situation is happening. Samuel's supposed to show up, but God sort of has Samuel delayed a little bit, the prophet. Here's what happens. Saul says, "Bring hither a burnt offering to me." The king says this. "And peace offerings." And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of the offering, behold, Samuel came and Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. Keep with me. And Samuel said, "What have you done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash." Watch this. "Therefore," said I, "the Philistines will come down upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord." Look at this word. Say that with me. I what?
Forced.
The devil made me do it. I forced myself. If you don't read carefully here, you don't think Saul's done anything wrong. Saul was a king. Saul was a dirty king. You think God wants an offering from a dirty king? Yes or no? Say it. Ha! And God doesn't want an offering from dirty folk either, by the way. He wants our heart. Are you hearing me today? And so this is what's happening. "I forced myself. I offered a burnt offering. Let's see if it flies." And Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. You've not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which commanded thee." Strictly forbidden to do what he did. But he did it anyway. "For now will the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever." Ooh, that little stick. Samuel stuck it in him. If you'd have done right, you could have had the kingdom forever. That had to hurt. Verse 14. "But now thy kingdom shall not continue." Say this with me. "The Lord hath sought him a..." "After his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." I know that's a lot of ground to cover. I feel like I've been running. But here's the deal. God had a king. They wanted to choose it their way. They wanted to have it their way. You can't be a man after God's heart having it your way. Okay? So let's look at some secrets this morning. Here we go. Secret number one to being a man after God's heart. Here it is. Pop it up. You must be spiritual. You must be spiritual. You've got to be a spiritual person. You've got to be, if you're going to be a person after God's heart, you have to be a Christian. You have to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Humming on the beach ain't going to fly. Hugging a tree ain't going to work. It ain't happening. You need to know Jesus Christ. The God of heaven had one Son, Jesus Christ. He died. He rose from the dead. He paid the price for our sin. That's the only way. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You must be spiritual. If you're going to be a man after God's heart, you've got to know Jesus Christ. But not just knowing Him. You've got to love Him. You've got to care about Him. You've got to love His Word. Do you hear me today? I know we're not perfect, but you can't be satisfied with mediocrity, and you can't be satisfied with being dirty. "I'll do what I want to." Great, have at it. Saul, it's not going to fly. You've got to be a spiritual person if you're going to be a man after God's heart. Let's keep looking. Can you say that with me? Phony ain't gonna. One more time. Phony ain't gonna fly. You think Saul was phony? Sure he was. You don't know him that well, maybe. Unless you've read your Bible. You ought to get to see the Bible. You'd be amazed. He was a coward. He loved to take credit for things he didn't do. He eventually got so jealous of David that he hunted him down like a dog and wanted to kill him. Crazy man. Phony ain't gonna fly. He was a phony man trying to be spiritual. And that's how many of us have been that like? Don't raise your hand, but you've been like that before. You get your rear end in the sling and you get hurt. Something's happening bad. So what do? We all of a sudden get what? Spiritual. That's not going to fly. It's not going to fly. God's not a bellboy just waiting to meet your every little whim. Oh, it's Him calling, great. That's not how God works. I've done it so many times. He's had to knock me down. Phony, ain't going to fly. Let's keep moving. Offerings, and we just popped through this, Rod. Offerings must come from the heart. That's why we say when you give, give cheerfully. Offerings must come from the heart. Prayer. How many have ever been in a jam and you just started praying? I'm not saying you can't pray when you're in a jam. Don't get me wrong. But that's the only time you have any time for God. It's when you got problems and you're self-centered. Listen, prayer's got to come from the heart, man. Look at the next one. Deeds, works. They've got to come from the heart. I do this for Jesus. I do this for... If it's not from the heart, what do you say? Many in that day will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, we did this and that for you. And what does the Bible say? He says this. Say it with me if you know it. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Three words. I never knew you. So we've got to be spiritual. If we're going to be a man after God's heart, I must be a spiritual man, a spiritual woman. Here's what Jesus said. A lot of scripture this morning. As He spake, a certain Pharisee, this is Jesus and a Pharisee. A Pharisee besought Jesus to dine with him. And he went in and he sat down to meat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that Jesus didn't first wash before dinner. It wasn't that Jesus liked to eat with dirty hands. They had ceremonial washings they went through and all that. But Jesus didn't do all that. And the guy judged him in his heart for it. And the Lord can see your heart. He can see his heart. And the Lord said unto him, now do you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward parts is full of ravening and wickedness. You fools! Did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? But rather give alms of such things as you have. And behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs. They would tithe even the little leaves on their plants. And you pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought you to have done and not to leave the other undone. We've got to be spiritual people if we're going to be connected with God. If we're going to have a heart after His. Let's keep moving. Secrets to being a man after God's heart. So let's follow our story. A nobody that nobody knows. Can you say that with me? A nobody. See, was Saul noticeable, yes or no? Sure he was. Good looking. Tall. Look at that guy. Let's make him king. Okay. There was a nobody that nobody noticed. We're getting to David now. The real king. Chapter 16, verses 1 and following. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul? So Samuel's all depressed because Saul's no longer king and the nation's in a real funk. And he's upset. Why are you going to mourn so long, seeing I've rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil. Go and I'll send thee to Jesse. Hello. I've heard that name before, haven't you? The Bethlehemite. For I have provided me a king among his sons. And many of you know this story, some of you don't. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears that I'm going to anoint a king or find another king, he'll kill me. The Lord said, take a heifer with you and just say I'm coming to sacrifice. The Lord had a little plan for him, a little sneaky. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me whom I name unto thee. Verse 4. Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and he came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, comest thou peaceably? They knew it was Samuel the prophet. And he said, peaceably, I've come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves. Come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and he called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab, and he said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature. See, that's what they did. That's what Israel did. Because I've refused him. For the Lord sees not as a man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. So he's choosing a king from these boys. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. He said, neither had the Lord chosen him. And Jesse made Shammah to pass by. He said, neither had the Lord chosen him. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord had not chosen these. Man forgets, but God remembers. Can you say that? Man forgets, but God remembers. And one had been forgotten. Let's keep looking, Raj. Verse 11. And Samuel said to Jesse, are here all your children? He said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keeps the sheep. Man forgets, man. Yeah, I got one down yonder. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. And he sent, he brought him in. Now he was ruddy, means red-faced, and withal a beautiful countenance. What does that mean? Oh, he was a good-looking guy. He's a good-looking guy, but he had bright eyes. That's what it means. It speaks of his eyes. When you looked at David, he came from the sheep. Yeah, have you ever met people like that? Their eyes just, wow, they sparkle. That's the kind of eyes I want. I want people to look at my face, my countenance. That's what I pray for. We'll all have a good countenance. Amen? Won't you shine through me? We pray that on Sunday mornings when we get together and have prayer time. We want the Lord to shine through us today. He had that kind of countenance. He was goodly to look to, good looking guy. The Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is him. Back to our message. Here we go. Three words for David's life. I know I'm flying this morning. There were three things that David was doing. He was down there watching those sheep. So often we think, if I'm going to be a man after God's own heart, I've got to be in the limelight. I've got to be good looking. I've got to be tall. I've got to be this. I've got to be that. We already saw that man looks, but God sees. We've already seen that our ways aren't his ways. We've already seen he chooses the foolish and the weak things of this world to confound the wise because he wants to get all the glory. And so what was David doing? Look at it. He was living in solitude. He was alone. Maybe that's how you feel today. I'm all alone. God can't use me. Let me tell you something. God picks champions from people who live in solitude. God picks champions from people who are alone. Look at the next word. David was in obscurity. He was unknown. Well, if I'm ever going to be anything for God, I've got to really stand out. I've got to be something special. Now listen, you know what? God likes solitude. You've been last time. Listen, obscurity. He was unknown. And that's how you feel today. Nobody knows me. Next. Monotony. Solo. He was watching sheep day in and day out. Day in and day out. Long, 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 long. That was David's life. These were words that described this young man's life. But God chose him. God said, this is him. Because that's God's plan. Verses 13 and 14. Samuel took the horn of oil. He anointed David in the midst of his brethren. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up. And he went to Ramah. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled Saul. And so the change was made. Let's see what we see. Secret number two, in case you're still here. Number one was, you got to be spiritual. You want to be a man after God's heart? Phony ain't going to fly. You got to be a spiritual person. It's not going to fly. Any other one? The second thing is this. You must be humble. Can you say that with me? You must be humble. If you want a heart for God, I don't expect in this audience that everybody listening to me wants a heart for God. When this goes on the radio, I don't expect everybody listening on the radio is going to want a heart for God. Hey, there was a bunch of brothers that passed by before one was found. But you know what in this audience today, if we could find four or five, six or seven, got to take this challenge today. Be spiritual. Listen to the voice of God. What He says, that's what I will do. What His Word says, that's what I will do. Be humble. You got to be low. You got to be before Him. It might be the best thing for you has been solitude, obscurity, and a life of monotony. Because it's helped you to be humble. And God's going to touch you. God's going to put His hand on your life. And He's going to do something great in your life. It can happen. Happen here. Let's keep seeing what we see. David was humble because he was unaware of himself. You'll know if you're humble if you're unaware of yourself. Does the world revolve around you? Say. The humble person is the person that ain't even aware of themselves. David didn't even know what was going on, did he? Say. He's down there doing his thing. I encourage you, keep doing your thing. Don't try to make a big show of yourself. Can't be humble if you're always thinking about you. The Bible says He gives more grace. Wherefore He says God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. 1 Peter. Verse 5, it says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. David was unaware of himself. People who are humble are unconcerned about who gets the glory. You ever known anybody in church that left the church because they didn't get the credit? Yes or no? Yes or no? Sure you did. It's pathetic. A humble person is the person God wants to have. The humble person is the heart that He's going to touch. You know what? If somebody else gets the credit, great. Amen? Why? That's great, because that meant I didn't get the credit. God gets the glory. Amen? That's awesome. A humble person is not worried about who gets the glory. Listen, a humble person isn't concerned about what people say about them. I struggle with this all the time. It's one of my weaknesses. You know? I worry. You know, so not worry, but you know, oh, can I do my best? Can I get the point across? Was it too long? Was I, you know, and joy just has to keep hammering me. You know? And God does. You know? I can tell you this morning, even though I went on a cruise and didn't hear a thing all week, I felt the Lord spoke to me yesterday. And this is His word. And something good can come out of it. If you have a heart for God, you've got to be humble. So what if you don't get a pat on the back? It's nice to feel sometimes. It's not always going to happen. The seeds of a servant's heart are best grown in the soil of humility. And they usually need to be sprinkled with solitude, obscurity, monotony, and hard knocks. That's how champions are born. Let's keep looking. Woo! Man, help me here. Secrets after being a man after God's own heart. Finishing up. Just a real quick rundown of some things that King David did. Just flying up on the screen. Youngest of seven. Keep moving, Raj, all of them. Shepherd boy. The king's musician and armor bearer. He's the one that killed Goliath the giant. So I think God makes pretty good choices. He married the king's daughter. His best friend was the king's son. He was hunted down like a dog by Saul. Twice when Saul was hunting him down, he had a chance to kill him. But because he was a good, godly man and he wanted to show his innocence, he didn't take Saul's life, even though really he should have. He spared Nabal's life, which was a fool. He was ready to kill him, but he listened to the counsel of a young woman named Abigail. He was Israel's second king. He ruled for 40 years. He seized Jerusalem. He made it the capital. Who made Jerusalem the capital? Somebody tell me. David did. He's the one that brought the Ark of the Covenant back. He wrote hundreds of songs to God. What I'm telling you is this. Man looks, but God sees. His ways are higher than ours. And if you can ever get to the place, and you can, where you can have a passion for Him, a heart for Him, He can do great things in your life. Greatness can be yours. It wasn't David's. Here's what Asaph, who wrote many psalms, David wrote most of them, but here's what Asaph said. Psalm 78, verse 70. God chose David, also His servant. He took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes, great with young. He brought him to feed Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. So he fed them according to what? Say that word with me. Integrity of his heart. And he guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. We're almost done this morning. Secret number three. So far, if I'm going to be a man after God's heart, I've got to be spiritual. Number two, I've got to be low, man. I've got to hang out down here on the floor. Humble. Number three, you got to have integrity. It just sickens me when I turn on Christian TV and I see people who are supposed to be leaders of God who are charlatans and crooks. It sickens me when Dateline does a story about a leading evangelist who comes to find out he's got things going on in the back room and so-and-so is going to get healed and that's their name. Is that sick or what? Say. If you like that kind of thing, I'm sure there are churches that like it. I hate it. I think you ought to have integrity in ministry. Amen? If you're going to be a man after God's heart, have integrity. If you're going to come on Sunday morning here, I know this is a little tough. I tend to be that kind of preacher, coach. You know, I know. But listen, if you're going to come on Sunday, but be a crook on Monday, you're not a man after God's heart. You're Saul. And I'm telling you, you're going down. It's going to happen. Listen to the word. Be a man after God's heart. Have integrity. What is integrity? It's a firmness of character. Honesty. Do the right thing. If you want to be a man after God's heart. If you don't, you quit playing the game. God wants your heart. He deserves your heart. He deserves that from me, from you. Character trumps charisma every time with God. He's a good talker. How is he right here? So, there's a lot of churches full of great talkers. How are they on the inside? How are you today? I know this is hard. It's hard talking to me, man. I'm telling you. I didn't hear a thing on the cruise yesterday. I got beat up in my office. See? You know? Let's keep moving. Why? Why does character matter, not charisma? Why? Because man looks what God sees. Man looks and sees the outward, and that guy looks spiritual and looks real great, wonderful. Yeah, great. We'll follow him. Listen, God sees the heart. He sees your heart. He sees my heart. That's the kind of person I want to be. I want to be a man after God's heart. Here's the bottom line. You know we're close to the end of the message when you see that. The bottom line. Here it is. The bottom line. Can you say that with me? God's heart is
God's
will. Say it with me one more time. God's heart is God's will. If I'm going to be a man after God's heart, I've got to be spiritual. I've got to be humble. I've got to have integrity. And the bottom line is this. Pop it up, Raj. I've got to be willing to do God's will. That's what being a man after God's heart is. I've got to be willing to do God's will. Next slide. I've got to be willing to do God's heart. That's what being a man after God's heart is all about. David was that man. Saul was not that man. Saul loved to take the credit. Saul loved to, you know, get the limelight. Saul was a coward. He would run and hide. It was all about him. He was big and tall. David, solitude, obscurity, monotony, hard knocks. But deep down in David's heart, he loved God. What's the one thing you remember bad in David's life? Somebody tell me. Guess what? Affair with who? Name the lady. Bathsheba. Was David perfect? No, he wasn't perfect. Did David make grave errors? Sure he did. He made horrible mistakes. That's my next week's message. Secrets to screwing up your family. Okay? I'm going to give them to you next week. But I want to tell you something. Even though David made grave errors, listen to me. When he was confronted, he repented. He repented. I've dealt with a lot of situations where there's been infidelity in marriage. But almost under all circumstances, when there was true repentance, when there was real godly sorrow, we've seen healing. And we've seen many times marriages come back stronger than ever. And you might say, that could never happen. It can happen if God helps you. You've got to be that kind of person if you want to be a person after God's own heart. Do His heart. Finally, you have to be a person who's willing to do His heart, a person who's willing to do His will, and that's secret number four. Number one, say it with me if you're here this morning. I'm done. Number one, you must be spiritual. Number two, you must be humble. Number three, you must have integrity. And number four, you must be willing to do His will or to do His heart. I hope you are today. I hope it's been a blessing and helped you. That was my desire today, and that was what God laid on my heart. Stand with me, would you please? Thank you.